there is a perfect spot for an amputation. And I want to try and hope that's my focus, is to get that, make sure the doctors are on board with that, that my legs are good enough to do that.
Welcome to the Power Within podcast. I'm your host, Nat Adams. Today we revisit Chris. Chris was my very first podcast. He's the gentleman who is going to be having his leg amputated. Back when I spoke to him, he didn't have any idea as to when it was going to happen, but he knew it was coming. Just recently, he got a phone call from the hospital telling him it was going to be in just 2 weeks' time. So I wanted to chat to Chris, find out how he's feeling, what he thinks about this, is he ready for it, and just generally have a general chat to him. And I'm planning on interviewing him again after the surgery and following his progress and recovery. So stay with us today. Enjoy the podcast with Chris.
Okay, Chris, so welcome back. We've had you on podcast a couple of times before, but now there's been some advancements.
Some progress,
yeah. That's the word.
Some progress, so yeah.
Tell me, where are you at? What's going on?
So I've been waiting for a very long time. Even before I was on the way to this, I'd been waiting for this moment for a very long time.
Yeah.
It feels like a long time. But anyway, so, it was a couple of days ago I got the news that on the 7th, of next month, the 7th of the 7th, 2023. I'll be checking into the Fremantle Hospital at 6:30 in the morning and preparing to go for my operation, have my amputation.
Wow.
So it's just a few days away, really.
Not far at all, is it?
It still hasn't sunk in, I don't think, yet.
So did you just get a letter or did you get a phone call?
They rang me, yeah.
They rang you?
Yeah, and I actually missed the call, but I called her back, and everything's all good to go. So I've done all the I don't have to do anything. I don't have to fill any paperwork in. It's just all it is just rock up there, and
that's it.
It feels really good. Feels really good to be able to know that. All my blood tests have come back good, and I'm in a really positive frame of mind. I'm really excited that it's finally here.
Wow. Nervous at all?
I don't know what to expect. I have had a lot of surgery and I have had a lot of pain, and I guess you never really get that excited about looking forward to that sort of pain. But
no, there's not many people that would. No.
But I've no idea how much it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
Whether it's gonna be more than what I've had before, because I've put up with a fair bit of pain, and it's one of the worst ones was with my right hip, and I think that there's a lot more to that story than just what happened. So, but yeah, the pain I had when my right hip was some of the worst pain I've ever felt. If anyone's had a hip problem, they know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's going to be. I can't see it being like that because it's most of it will be gone. There'll be no bone.
Maybe
ghost
pain.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's what I'm ready to pounce on it. So I can't say I've done a lot of research, but I was lucky enough to turn the TV on one night and I saw a show on there and they had 10 candidates who all had their own amputations in their own way throughout their own lives at different stages. And there was one guy in particular who the question came up about ghost pain and whatnot, and he said, I sat there every single night and rubbed oil on my stump and I said to myself, it's not coming back. And he doesn't complain about any ghost pain at all. And all of the other guys some way was saying that they had it, but he was the only one that didn't. And he convinced his body, he just said, this is what's going on.
So are you going to take that advice? Are you going to get some of that bio oil?
Rubbing oil on your stump, it's going to make it get ready for the next stage, which is the prosthetic, that's another story. But yeah, so as soon as you've got to be healed up totally before you go to the next stage, which is when they fit the prosthetic. They have a go to a clinic at Fiona Stanley.
Yes.
And you stay there for 4 weeks and they
okay, so
they
stop for a second. So you go into Fremantle Hospital.
Going to Fremantle. Yeah,
have the surgery. And then they keep you in for a couple of nights. And
yeah,
then
pretty much as soon as you're stable, they said, as soon as you're stable.
They move you to Fiona Stanley. Home. Oh, you got home or to Fiona Stanley?
You go home.
No.
After the operation, yeah.
Wow,
so as soon
really?
As you're stable, as soon as that wound is okay to go out
Holy
into the
crap.
Open world, they send you home.
Without support? Do they have a helpline you can ring? It sounds like a really big thing.
They're not
going to
send you home unless you're capable of being – I've been into – again, this is the advantage I have of being going into this. I already know what's going to happen. So they don't send you home unless you can show them that you can –
capable.
With or without support, whatever your situation is, to be able to do the basic things like go to the toilet, and they make sure you do that. They don't let you go until you can do that. You
and
know
I guess you've been so in so much pain and not been able to use your foot anyway, so you've probably worked out how to cope without it already.
Well, it's funny. You're right in some ways, and but consciously, I always think about trying to do, especially showering. Mm-hmm. And being in a toilet, I haven't really tackled the toilet bit too much yet, but I've got a bit of an idea. But showering, I have tried to do on one leg, and because I've got some good solid bars in that room, I can hang on to, and I can lift my weight off the ground. I can use them, it's tricky, but it's it's doable, you know. And
are you in the shower? Practicing what it's going to be like to not have a foot. Does that freak you out a bit? Do you feel weird that you're going to look down and it's not going to be there? Does that scare you, or you? How do you mentally feel?
Not really. Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah, because if I look down now and we'll see look at what's there at the moment, you know, I get a pretty good angle as well, and it's not very nice to look at.
No, I've seen it. It's not.
Yeah.
It looks so
a lot
sore,
of people
you know?
Don't even want to really even look at it.
Because it looks painful,
so,
Chris.
I mean, it can't be that much worse, can it, you know? At the end of the day, it's actually going to make things a lot easier because that foot's so mutated and it's so nothing's wrong with it.
Mm.
It's really hard to get anything over it. Like the toes go wherever they want. I can't really point them in the direction I want them to go. So clothes get stuck on my foot. It's hard to put a sock on, blah, blah, blah.
And then it hurts. Yeah.
So I think this is immediately going to remedy just in the real short term, you know, like when I go to take clothes off to get in the shower, they're just going to fall off that foot instead of being caught on a foot that I can't control. So it's so frustrating. Yeah. It has been really frustrating.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yeah.
How's your mum going?
She as soon as I told her, she started crying, basically.
Oh, bless.
She cried for about
I remember because we interviewed her. Yeah.
Yeah, so I told her to, get in touch with her sister, because Aunty Lorraine, one of the most beautiful people in the whole world, and she's always there for us, you know, and she's there for Mum as well, and she's a solid rock, so it's really handy to have Aunty Lorraine and Mum's sisters around and everything. Oh, so, good. Yeah, everyone's been awesome. In that way, you know. So
it's a big thing for her, but she knows that it's what you want.
Yeah, for her, I think that it was the way they're finding out, because she said, you know, like Chris, you were a part of me, you know, were a part of me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't understand what it's like to be a mum. You'd know, but
definitely. Yeah, you worry about your kids. Yeah,
so, that was she said. I think it was just caught up to her, and to be honest, I thought I'd get really emotional and almost sort of break down, and there's a big Academy Award and taking the big ones, but
it's actually happening.
It didn't affect me like that at all. It was like, righto, it's time to sort of switch on a bit. You know, I'm ready to go do my job. More or less.
Yeah. Well, I guess you've been
my
sitting
job
around
is to
waiting.
Get to be, yeah. I need to be. I'm pretty strong. For a bloke who weighs 125 kilos, I can nearly just about lift my whole weight off the ground with one leg. Yeah. And you know, you got to remember also at the same time, my other foot if you've seen my other foot, it's not exactly like, doesn't look like a normal foot as well. So
yeah,
it's quite deformed, and a lot of that foot I don't get to use like a normal foot as well. So
what's going to happen with that then, Chris? Because you're just getting one foot amputated. Well, will they try and fix the other one?
At the moment, it's doing a great job. It's really doing a great job. It's doing everything I want it to do, and it's not hurting. It's not swelling up. There's no restriction in movement. I'm really happy with it. I've obviously got a long way to go with that leg, because that was the leg I didn't use for 30 years pretty much. And the other leg is just so superior in strength in so many ways. But, you know, so when I do get my prosthetic leg, I hope I don't sort of like stop, you know, get my other leg, because it still needs a lot of work to catch up to the other leg, even though I don't even use it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I guess you'll be able to then get back on your bike and do the exercise that you love doing that you haven't been able to do for a while.
The thing with that is that with the bike, it's quite a lot of impact. And so, you know, like, I mean, even without doing any exercises lately, I mean, I'm a bit worried about my neck, to be honest. Because my bones, basically I have arthritis everywhere. That's what's going on. And it's just only osteoarthritis. It's not rheumatoid. But there's a lot of it. And it's quite severe, but combined with, you know, the injuries I really need to look after my neck, because it's, you know, like where I had bone on bone, my lower lumbar, there's probably bone on bone up there as well. And my shoulder's like, my right shoulder is, I don't think it's never going to be right again. And, you know, like, and at the moment I've got a piece of bone, it's about 15 millimetres diameter, and it's floating around just above my left elbow, and it's really tiny. That's actually giving me quite a bit of pain at the moment. So,
oh my goodness,
there's not only just once my foot's fixed, I really need to be aware of taking care of the rest of my bones in my whole body, and I really need to do that, because I've tended in the past to do that, you know, jump on my bike and I fell off a few times, and I'm paying for it now. So
maybe stick to the water.
Swimming's probably the best one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Low impact.
I really want to walk. I just want to walk with, you know, even if it hurts a little bit, as long as I can do it with a nice straight body.
Yeah.
And everything's lined up, I can get through their pain, I reckon.
How old are you at the moment, Chris?
So 49 at the moment.
49. 50
and next.
Yeah, 50 February the 13th, and we had a plan that we were dancing on your birthday. So.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're always there to remind me, you know.
So now you're going to have to get that recovery and get ready for that.
Well,
so we can take it easy. You don't have to break dance.
You know? I don't have to do the with a quick step. We can just do the mumble.
God, I know how to do that. Side to side steps enough.
I mean, I am also like quietly, sort of hoping that I do recover a little bit faster than what people would expect. I've kind of felt that I've always done that, because I'm not trying to say that I'm so great. I never ever say that, but you know, like sometimes when you know, you might want to just like get a bit comfortable, like I'll jump up and I'll jump on the ball, and you know, there's a reason why I can sort of get down and do squats, and so I can do a lot of things
that
a guy in my situation probably shouldn't be able to do and probably shouldn't do, but you know, like that's the thing, that's what, you know, that sort of, you got to do that for me. I have to do those things to prove myself, that otherwise I don't know what I'd do, you know what I mean? Like,
and you've also got tapped into the fasting, and you've learned about healthy eating, which,
you know,
that's important for you.
Fasting's massive,
it's so important for your health.
Like, one of the best painkillers I've ever had taken is fasting.
Wow.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah,
didn't know it was a painkiller. I knew that. But in saying that, that's interesting, because my husband, Chris, and my husband, Steve, Chris, as you know, he broke his leg. He only took painkillers after having surgery, because the nurse made him. He never took painkillers after that. And he did a lot of fasting. And so it's interesting that you say fasting reduced your pain, because I never thought of that. Maybe that's why he didn't need the painkillers.
It's definitely a correlation between, you know, not having a lot of food in my stomach or a lot of, like, you know, those foods that do cause
inflammation.
Yeah, and it does. Food does do that. And so, you know, like, yeah, so the more you keep your body, you know, from, I think fasting is just a, you know, for as long as you can do it, no matter who you are, there's something in it for everyone. So,
well, that's right. It's been around for, you know, centuries, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think it'll be something that, you know, after post-operation, that's something that I'm going to really, really try and get. Yeah, you just got to watch out. There's a few little tricks with fasting, isn't there?
Especially there is. We've learned
start
that.
Taking salt and things like that. You've got to watch your bowel movements a little bit.
Yes.
And especially if you're struggling with mobility. You don't really want to put yourself in too much of a situation.
You need to also make sure that your body's not under stress in the first place, because a fasting is a stress on it. It's a good stress on it, but you've also got to make sure your cortisol doesn't go too high. So waiting till you start to feel like I'm ready to do it. Like, listen to your body. Yeah. It's intuition, isn't it?
Yeah. But, yeah, I definitely I hope, you know, because I do need to lose weight and it's going to be more beneficial too. And it's a great way to keep your metabolism up, you know.
Yeah.
And I've never felt like I've lost energy, you know, where I probably should have, and I have never felt that. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
And so I interrupted you a while back. You were saying you come out of hospital, when they think you're ready and you're ready to cope, and you go home, which, wow. And then how long until they bring you back to Fiona Stanley?
So when you're home, the wound on the end of your stump, once that's fully healed, because you got to imagine that's going to be like most of your weight of your body is going to go on that area into, you know, when you put the prosthetic on.
Okay, so it needs to be bruising,
no swelling. It needs to be really, really healed up quite well to, otherwise, you can end back right back at square one with a full infection right going up your leg and looking down the barrel of something really bad. So,
and how long does that kind of process take, that waiting for it to heal?
I mean,
it depends on every person.
Going on like bones, I mean, like my bones don't heal very well, but as far as grafting, is I'm a slow grafter, but all the, you know, like scar tissue and that, I heal really well. Like both my knees, I've got all the feeling around my knees after the replacements, and there's some really good scar tissue. My physio, Sean Cowan, you've got really good scar tissue, and that enables you to get a lot of your sensation back into your body and your joints, and you get that being able to feel them, and, you know, not having that dead sort of weight, got dead skin around. So my body's good at doing that, so I'll be hoping to keep that going. But I also think
four months, do you reckon?
Well, you know, yeah.
They didn't give you any rough idea at the hospital? They haven't.
I think everyone's different in that.
That's why they can't really tell you.
I've always found with medicine, like, and doctors, if they put something in your head, you tend to make that your mark.
That's true. Very true.
And you're better off not doing that. And I think they do that. They let you make that up. Yeah, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah. So then back to Fiona Stanley, what happens there in this clinic? So you stay
So you stay there. You stay at the actual the hospital. 4 weeks. They allocate 4 weeks. And so obviously it's all part of the process. And I better check up, but I hope obviously Fremantle and Fiona Stanley would liaise and that they would be ready for me. But I guess it's something I better check up on. Thanks for reminding me. But, they have some really good people there. I mean, I can't remember any of the names. Apologise for not remembering
the names
of the guys. Fine. But, you know, I did meet the people who, like, were in there every day and helping people to learn how to walk again. And they just seem like a really very sincere bunch of people and it's all about, you know, healing. And so I think I don't reckon that's going to be the hardest part. The hardest part would be trying not to, you know, look at other people and feeling a little bit maybe not intimidated, but, you know, like that. There's always, when other people are around, it can be a bit tricky for me.
So comparing yourself, do you mean? Like I'm not improving as quick?
You know, you try not to feel sorry for people.
Too much empathy, you mean?
Yeah, you try not to be over, you know, emotional and all that, but sometimes, you know, like you can't help who you are, can you?
No.
So I don't know what I mean by that, but I hope I'm not, like, you know, because, you know, people can be quite put off if your first reactions and you can't control, you can't look at someone, you know what I mean? I think I'm grown up enough to be able to handle all that. And some good friends that I might be able to.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you've got to be in the mindset of these people are going through the same thing as you. Let me learn from them and maybe I can help them.
They do have a really good peer sort of peer group thing where you can sort of match yourself up with someone in a similar circumstance that's already done it.
Wow. And are you doing that?
You can also do that as well yourself. They give you that option to be someone that people can talk to. So, yeah, I think some people, you know, everyone's going to be different. Not everyone's going to want to share it so much, but I'll be quite happy to get as much out of everything as I can and try and, you know, get the whole experience. And
because have you had a chance to talk to someone that's been through this? Because that would be handy, I would have thought.
Not really.
No, so are you going to do this peer support thing then? Would you look at doing this?
At the moment, my focus is obviously getting to the hospital and making sure that one thing I did learn from the clinic, not the hospital, but there's a certain spot you can amputate, do amputations where, so particularly in a below the knee amputation, there'd be the exact right spot, because if it goes too high, you have to use way too much energy. It costs you a lot of energy, you know, and it's really hard. And if it goes too low, you lose space for componentry on the prosthetic. So there is a perfect spot for an amputation. And I want to hope that's my focus, just to get that, make sure the doctors are on board with that my legs are good enough to do that, and try and make sure that happens. That's my first thing. And then healing up is the next one. And then I guess in between the operation and healing up, I'll obviously be in touch with the Fiona Stanley crew, and we'll go from there. Once I get up there and once I start to be able to walk around and look like a human again, I guess I'll start thinking about, you know, ways of which I can help other people. But
which is gorgeous of you, but I'm wondering whether you should be trying to let people help you in your situation.
Well, I think at the moment I need help at the moment.
So can you speak to Fiona Stanley and find out about this this partnering program?
Oh yeah, for sure. I could.
On your list.
They put a magazine out. Yeah, testimonials and whatnot. I mean, you don't have to go far to sort of
find something.
But at the moment, for me, it's a bit of a personal journey, and once I start meeting guys, I think that have been and done it, and I actually shake their hands and meet the people, I think it'll be a lot different. But and because it's in Perth as well,
a bit further away.
But I guess I just
want to make sure that, you know, this isn't just a physical change to your body. This is mentally, I think that's even harder. It's that whole mental change. I mean, you've been amazing, so positive with the way you've been thinking and tackling this, in that you see it as this is a great opportunity.
I did learn that later on in life, I think, you know, and sort of learn a little bit. I think one of the best lessons I've learned was, you know, things that you've got to go out and get yourself, things you've got to go out and actually do yourself are way better, always going to be better than anything that anyone can ever give you, or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely feel a lot of the things now that I'm in my life, they're mine. I've got them.
You're walking your own path.
I've worked for them. I've worked hard for them, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's things that I can do that I never used to be able to do before I had all those operations. And but there's still things that I can't do, and there's still a long way to go. And yeah, but you know, I'm pretty positive. I really think the best way is to be, you know, like as soon as you start going negative, it's, you might as well just pack it up and don't worry about it really, because yeah, you're wasting your time if you've been going to be negative, I think.
Yeah, really. Definitely. Yeah,
and that's right. Also saying we don't all get down. Yeah, I'll get down. Like days where I like, you know, you wouldn't want to be. I wouldn't want to be around any other person when I'm having days like that.
Yeah,
you know, you're going to have those days, but it's just you got to stick in there. And so I think, you know, this interview was about going into it, but what it really is about for me is that for a long time I've been waiting for a couple of things, two things to happen, and they finally both happened. And so there's nothing I can't be angry or sad about now. I don't have any excuse to be to do that at all, you know, whatsoever. Mm. So if the two things I really, really hope for are coming, so they're on their way. And you know, it was just a matter of really, like, that was a stretch of like a year where I had no idea what my future was going to hold. Absolutely no idea what was going to happen, you know what I mean? And now it's not like that. I still got a lot of work to do, and I can't take my hands off the wheels yet, you know, things are definitely looking up now, that's for sure.
So I guess once you have a plan, that's the main thing. You've got a plan so you can focus on that, and it's what you want, so you can move forward when it's something that you want. So that's a good thing. If it was,
I think now, having you said that, if I can just interrupt, but you know, for me it was like the plan was to try and simplify everything, because I found that if I took on too many things to do, like you would have seen me do that, you would have tried to get me involved in things, and to be honest with you, like that stopped me from doing so many things. Mm. So in the end, I think the best advice I could give myself was try not to do too many things. Concentrate on one or two things at a time that are really important, and just focus on them.
Yeah.
And give them everything you got, rather than try to do too much.
A little bit of everything.
Especially in this situation, because you do have to deal with your emotions. You do have to sort of like sit down and think about things for a while. Uh-huh. You do need to keep an open mind for people to suggest things that can make life easier for you in your house and all that sort of stuff. So,
that makes sense, you know. So taking time out to
just take your time, yeah,
to actually let it sink in, and it's probably helped you instead of rushing, keep going with adding more and more things into your life.
Don't busy yourself. Don't busy yourself.
You've had time to center yourself, your life, accept
and,
it.
Yeah, and you still have time to breathe. I think that's really important. That's
good. Though. And also, when you're in so much pain, it's hard to go and do a lot of things, isn't it? You've really got to take the time out for recovery.
Yeah, well, that's the biggest cause of pain is doing things, basically.
Too much.
So,
that's good.
You need to be able to be comfortable with yourself, you know, to not be able to say, I'm okay not doing that. You know what I mean?
So along this journey, Chris, has that meant that you've really discovered who you are?
Well, I think, you know, like that's probably like, I'm the sort of person that changes quite all the time. I change a lot. So,
personality,
it's like the weather. What's the weather like? And it changes a lot. I'm a bit like that. But, I think it's just also be getting older as well. But, you know, like things might happen that you might not like about yourself. Like there's certain times there where I can look back and go, I was being a sook, you know. I was being a really little sook, and I wasn't trying to be positive. I wasn't looking outside my situation. I was just, you know, I was quite happy to be grumpy and you know, whatever at my house. But, you know, you're not always going to be able to be like that. But I think if you can just, like, you know, have that, the bigger plan, some sort of bigger plan, and, you know, and, it's really important who you've got around you as well. The people you've got around you are incredible, like yourself, Nat. You know, you've been so supportive.
Thanks.
And, I've just got some really good people in my life that I wouldn't want anyone else to be here.
On that note, does your dad know that you're having your leg
and yeah, he toes? Does actually. He does, yeah, know? Yeah, oh, I did. I spoke to him. I got to speak to him, and yeah,
how'd he
pretty,
take it?
Pretty genuine answer. Oh, I think, you know, like he's a bit of a you know, a bit of a supreme optimist. He's like, there must be something else they can do, is there? Or, you know, I don't know, but I okay. think he's, you know, like, yeah, I didn't really, yeah, we didn't really sort of talk too much about it. It was just sort of like, yeah, kind of happy to say good day and happy birthday, I think was the last thing I said to him. But yeah. Okay. But you know, like my brother Ray, you know, I told him straight away as soon as I found out, because he's been another one that's just like, he's always got the great advice, you know, and like one of the best bits of advice he gave me was just focus on the good things.
Yeah.
You know, try not to worry about all these bad things. Just try and focus on the good things that you can do and have in your life. And that's probably some of the best advice anyone can ever give you, you know. Yeah. And the other one, his great sayings is, sometimes you're the dog and sometimes you're the pole. You know what I mean? Like,
some days you're the dog and some days you're the pole.
You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. And you gotta just wait for it. But it will get better. Nothing lasts forever, and everything does get better if you want it to. You first of all gotta want it to get better. You first of all gotta be able to recognize what's making your life shitty. Or whatever is happening in your life, you've got to be able to recognize it before you can do anything about it. And that takes a lot of guts to be able to look at yourself like that, I think.
It does. Yeah, definitely. Oh, wow.
There's always people out there that are like, that are happy to get behind you. And there's always people that are, there's always so many people that are silent majority that are there to support
you.
Everyone, you know?
Yeah. So, about 2 weeks away. You head to Fremantle,
two and a bit.
Have this surgery, come home, recover. I'll be cooking you some meals. You'll be doing a bit of fasting, heading back up there to Fiona Stanley. Let's catch up after your surgery, have another interview.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And see how you're feeling and how it goes. And we'll probably have more interviews than what we've had in the past, because there'll be a lot more happening now. We've only really had the first one and then the questions.
Yeah, that's right.
But we'll have more to talk.
Some action. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
more to talk about.
Things are happening. So, yeah, it'll be quite interesting to, you know, to sort of talk about the process and whatnot. And
I hope this can help other people going through it.
That's the idea. That's why we're doing this. And
exactly.
You know, and if it's just one thing, one tiny little thing that they can take you out of it, anyone can take you out of it. And if it helps you in the smallest way, then it's been worth it.
Definitely worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's great, Chris. I'm glad that you're excited about getting your leg amputated, because I don't think there'd be many people that would be
excited.
Maybe happy that it's,
you know, like,
an end game.
I'm ready. That's probably
you're ready.
I'm ready.
You are ready.
I feel I'm ready. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's probably a lot more. There is a lot more I need to know, but I will learn that as we go along. But as far as my mental preparation, I feel like I'm ready to go.
And you're open-minded. You're willing to accept. You're positive.
Absolutely. And I, you know, like at the same time coming up, I'm gonna rely on people to come and help me. And you know, before that even happens, I want to say thanks to those people.
Yeah,
I really do. I want to say thank you very much, and to yourself as well. Thank you for being around and just being a positive influence and you know, it's a great example. Been a great example, and I love what Jack's doing at the moment with his bike.
His YouTube channel, Jack.
Yeah, you guys got to check that
Adams.
Out.
Jack Adams, Adams on
mountain
YouTube.
Bike. It's crazy.
Yeah, mountain bike.
Yeah, I love
he's loving
doing.
It. For a
I'm,
shy.
I'm loving that.
Oh, so he's a shy kid that, you know, is quiet and didn't. We give him a GoPro for his 18th, and he starts a YouTube channel, and it's, you know, like, it's so different to what
he's
I thought
like
he'd do.
Yeah, a bucket load of followers. And
he loves it. He loves it.
Making
comments.
And yeah.
He rode on the weekend, actually. He had a race
what
on the
do
weekend.
Is incredible on the bike.
It's scary, Try being a mother of those kids. And then one of the kids said, "Where's Jack Adams? I haven't seen Jack Adams yet because I think they're hoping to get on his video." I said, "You might have to start filming some of the kids so that they can see themselves on your videos."
Get the drones happening.
Yeah, he's got a friend that has a drone. He should get into that. Join them together. Thanks, Chris. He loves the fact that he knows you're watching him, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's good. That's what it's all about. We look after, we support each other, and good things come from it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, you take care of yourself, and we'll be in touch. And all the best. Thanks again.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you.
See you, Chris.
Yep. Bye-bye.